You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscapers can now replace their gas powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service. Educational and motivational to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 458 entitled What's on the Menu? Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week, and of course, for the questions, the comments, and the feedback that you guys send through each and every week. I really do appreciate that. Before we open the show here, just wanted to give a quick reminder about the Equip Expo. It'll be here before you know it. We're already approaching the end of April here, so October, as crazy as it seems, will be here before we know it. I can't believe that we are almost like on knocking on the doorstep of May already. Absolutely crazy to think about how fast time flies. But Equip Expo, if you haven't thought about it yet, again, like I said, it's fast approaching, so you definitely want to make your arrangements. If you're going to be, possibly flying in and stuff like that, you want to start researching flights to see, what's available, as well as hotels and accommodations, whether it's things like Airbnbs or your basic or standard hotels, or, you know, however else you're doing. I know some people will drive in, some take their motorhomes and campers and stuff. And I believe the Equip Expo has a spot in the parking lot where people can go as well for their like campers and stuff. So lots of different options there. But with your Equip Expo passes, of course, you can save 50% off of those the passes for the entire show. So it comes out to something like $12.50 if you use my discount code. Discount code is Julio. You can go to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/equip. There's also a link in the podcast show notes as well. That'll take you right there. And again, the discount code is Julio that you can apply at checkout and get 50% off your Equip Expo show passes. As you can probably tell from my voice, I'm feeling quite a bit better. Still got some lingering little issues there from the past illness that I've discussed the last couple weeks in a row. We're on like week three now. So you can still see a little bit of minor issues, goes to show how bad of a cold it was for it to be lingering this long. But feeling a whole lot better, thanks to those who did reach out and wish me well a quick sort of recovery from that. Really appreciate those that did that. A crazy week, been knocking out aeration after aeration. If you guys who follow me on Instagram may have seen the little clip I put of wrestling my Bluebird 424 aerator up a couple of stairs for a particular back lawn with that particular unit there. With my root density in the neighborhood that I'm in, I live basically at the top of a hill. So because I service all the lawns around me in the surrounding neighborhoods, every lawn has some sort of a hill or slope or, something like that. Now, some of them We'll have the hills and slopes in areas that don't affect me in terms of like getting mowers to backyards and things like that. And in those types of lawns for like the residential things, I can get like the turf tracer in. In the past, I've been able to get like the Star stand-on mower in and things like that. But a lot of, or the majority of lawns, I should say, do have some sort of an issue that affects me being able to take those style of mowers into back lawns. Aerator included, as shown in that quick little video clip that I posted there of just like a couple of stairs. And in that particular backyard that I showed, a bunch of people were commenting about, you know, like, why don't you use ramps and stuff? Because I was literally just like manhandling the aerator up a couple of stairs going backwards. And with that particular one, if you saw the video, you'll see that there was like one of those like canopy type backyard awning type things. It's kind of like permanent, is the metal frame and stuff for it. Although this one didn't have the actual awning on it, it's just like the frame that's left there, but it's dead center on the side of where the stairs start. And then the house is there, so the aerator can't go straight up the stairs, which would have made it a lot easier if I could put like a board or something there, or a ramp, and then, you know, go straight up the two steps there. But because if I try to go straight, the handles on the aerator or the mower, whatever it is I'm pulling back there, would hit the house. So I always have to go on an angle, which makes it very difficult, whether it was the commercial 30 that I was using last year, or the battery mowers this year are a little bit easier because they're lighter weight. But then the aerator is one of those ones that I'm always having to wrestle to get up there because I have to go on an angle, which makes increases that difficulty level of getting that in there. But that's been my week. This past week has been mowing all of my regular clients and then knocking out aerations and fertilizers and limes and all those sort of spring treatments, getting everything underway. Some seeding jobs and stuff as well. And just been knocking those all out and getting those done. It's been a very busy week. And speaking of seeding jobs, had a little bit more, I don't know if you could call it drama or not, with the seed or fertilizer supplier. I don't know if you guys remember me talking about in a previous episode, I talked about where I was short. I think it was seed. Trying to remember if it was seed or fertilizer last year. I was short a particular item, and the seed supplier had changed their policy where they had a minimum order. I was short a bag or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly what product it was, but they wouldn't sell me one bag, even though, you know, I had bought everything off of them in terms of fertilizers and seed and lime and all that sort of stuff, moss control. Everything was from this particular supplier, been going there for, you know, 10, 12 years or so. Every time I need fertilizer and seed, I go there and pick up whatever I needed. And they always had a minimum price, but it was always like a low price. And you could, you know, easily surpass that minimum order. And that was just to discourage homeowners, is what they said, right? They only wanted to sell to landscapers. So over the years, that minimum order has gone up and up and up. But in the past, if I was ever short, just a single bag of something or whatever, they would accommodate you. Go, okay, there you go. Like, you can buy just the one bag, whatever you need to finish off, you know, those particular jobs that you're doing, because they, you know, you're a regular client, you're there all the time. It's not like that scenario of a homeowner just going to buy one bag of fertilizer or something. So they had steadily increased the price, and now they had like a zero tolerance on just, you know, not meeting that minimum order. And last year, I think it was $350. So if I needed just one thing, then it was like, well, you know, I don't need $350 worth of product right now. I just need one bag of seed or one bag of whatever. And, you know, a bag of seed can be anywhere from $150. The ones that I get is usually about $180 for a bag of seed. So, you know, you wouldn't meet that minimum order number. So I talked a bit about that and how frustrating that was on one of the podcast episodes in the past year. And so this year rolled around and in the spring, so I had to, emailed the sales rep there in the spring to ask to get a price list because I didn't get one on email. Usually they send a price list out. And I asked about the minimum order, and he said yes, confirmed that yes, the minimum order is $350, and here's the price list for this year. Okay, so I'm looking at the price list and everything. Everything's gone up a little bit, as you know, to be expected. What hasn't gone up in price? So, you know, Moss Control time. I put in my order for Moss Control, surpassed the minimum order easily, no problem. Picked up the Moss Control, did all that, and then that was for March when I did those the first like mows of the season and stuff. And then this past week, it was time to do the fertilizers and lime. So again, like I said, I had that email that was sent from them that I had requested, so I knew the minimum order and stuff. So I emailed in the morning to put in an order. And everything was good except for they didn't have something in stock that I wanted. So I just changed that to something slightly different. No problem. Went to go pick up my order. And I thought, you know what? To do the $350 or whatever the case may be, what I'm going to do, I decided, was I'm just going to, instead of just doing, you know, a minimum order, trying to, you know, get what I need right now, I'm just going to order everything that I need for the entire year for all of the fertilizer application stuff. I'm going to guesstimate how much I use based on, in past years and stuff like that. And I'll just order everything at once so I don't have to keep going back there and keep messing around and all that sort of stuff. So I just put in a larger order the second time and got everything that I needed, hopefully. But I thought, you know, come the fall or something, if I'm short, then, you know, I'll have to put in another order, and then then it kind of gets tricky because it's like, you know, if I'm short a few bags and it's like, you know, the $350 order, and then I got to hold on to stuff all winter that I, you know, may not need, and they may not have stuff. Like, it would be easy to say, you know, I'm short, say, a particular fertilizer or something that I need for the fall, and then to just like, fill the rest of the minimum order with, say, Moss Control for the coming spring. But at that time of year, they may not have Moss Control to do that. So then you're kind of stuck, like, what do you buy to make up that minimum that will come in handy at some point? At any rate, I get this phone call. I had picked up my order, you know, started going about my business. And then a couple of days later, I got my order on the Monday, and then last Thursday I got a call from my brother-in-law, and he said, he didn't even say hello on the phone, and that's when I know that he was like upset about something, and he was like, they did it again, you won't believe it, sort of thing, right? And I was like, what are you talking about, sort of thing, right? And he said, he went to go put in his order, and he says they changed it again. And he says now it's $500, the minimum order. But that's not the kicker. The kicker now is that with every order, you have to buy 3 bags of grass seed before you can buy any fertilizer or lime or Moss Control or anything else. And, you know, bags of grass seed are, like I said, $180, $200, whatever the case may be, depending on the blend you're getting. These are like 25 kilogram bags. And he was just, you know, kind of, because it's like three these massive bags. I usually, for my own clients, we'll go through about a bag a year. of grass seed, of these like large, for the overseeding jobs that I'm doing. Not every client gets overseeding. It's just a couple, handful of clients that we, you know, do some repairs here and there and blending in and overseeding and stuff like that. That one huge bag is more than enough for me to get through, right? So to say, okay, I'm going to have to buy three bags now with every order is, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, and he said that they justified it by saying that they are a seed supplier first and that they only sell the fertilizer and lime and all that sort of stuff just as a convenience to people, which, you know, is over, you know, they've never said that to me in all the years or whatever the case may be. Their warehouse is stacked to the brim full of fertilizers and everything. Barely see, even see any grass seed in there. So that was kind of news to me. But it's just one of those things that then you got to sort of, you know, kind of plan, like, what are you going to do? So he had to order three bags of grass seed. And what was crazy was one of the products that my brother-in-law ordered is a particular fertilizer that he wanted. They didn't have in stock. So they told him that it would be next week to get it. So he said, okay, but I need, you know, I got jobs to do right now and I need this other stuff. Can I come get this other stuff now? And then when you guys have that in, I'll come pick that up. And they said, no, you'll have to order that. We can only sell it when we have it in stock. And he says, okay, but then if I get this stuff now, are you going to make me buy three bags of grass seed again to buy the other stuff when it comes in stock? And they said, yes. And it's like, what? Like, like, it just, that's just crazy. you can't make this stuff up. It's just like so hilarious to even think about that as a policy, that you're gonna make the person, first of all, you're gonna change the policy without any sort of advance warning in the middle of the spring of the busy season. You are just going to pull the rug under all of your long-term clients who have to, and that was part of the thing, like, that I complained about as well last year, was that they sent out the price list and a month later they changed the price on all the fertilizer. So when you went to go pick up the fertilizer, the prices were all different from what they had just sent out. And, you know, people were putting in their first orders and now the prices were all different and they didn't bother sending an email saying the prices are different now. So you had, you know, gone and quoted clients and stuff based on the price. You landed, you know, these jobs and stuff. Now you go put in your order and now everything's a different price. So it's been just, I keep saying, like I told my brother-in-law, they must have hired somebody, what do they call it? Like bean counter person for that particular business. For things to be changing so dramatic after so many years of it running so smoothly and being able to, you know, like a normal business, you go in, you pick up what you need, you put your orders in, you pick up, and now to be like constantly increasing the minimum orders, constantly changing the prices on stuff and, changing policies on the fly and stuff with no advance warnings, no, anything like that for your clients to kind of prepare again this year, just the whole, kind of gong show. Here's what I found. Like my brother-in-law had to go and put in his orders for the three bags of grass seed. He luckily, during when he was calling me, our other relative who is in like the construction I've talked about in the past as well, does a lot of hardscaping and stuff like that, but does some landscaping around those hardscape projects and stuff. He ironically called my brother-in-law and asked if he could go and pick up, that he needed a couple of bags of grass seed, if he could pick some up. So it was like, okay, well, that worked out for you. Like, you know, you get the one bag that you need, plus you can get two bags for our relative that he needs for, you know, this project that he's doing. And then you can order all your fertilizer and stuff. So my brother-in-law decided to just order everything as well for the entire season. So he got basically like a full pallet full of everything that he needed for the entire season, unexpectedly having to drop that much money because he wasn't planning on doing that to be able to do. But because of the whole, policy now changing with the grass seed and stuff. So for me, it kind of puts a bit of a damper on it because, like I said, I ordered, most of what I needed for the entire season, but I was kind of still on the fence of like, okay, I don't know exactly because it's still early in the season. I don't know how many new clients will be signing up and all that sort of stuff. So, I got some with a little bit extra for what I needed, but I could need more. So that's going to put a bit of a challenge going forward. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do moving ahead. And all these policies, like, they're like anything else. They're like policies that I put in place for my customers and stuff like that. They all have fair warning. I talk about, at the beginning of season back in February that I email clients, that I send them out their renewals and all that sort of stuff, and it has all of my policies in writing. I talk about how when I quote clients, I don't quote them verbally, that I always do it in writing over email so that they can have all of my policies, terms of service and all that sort of stuff written. Why? So that there's no surprises, so that the customer can prepare, so that the customer can look at that and say, decide yes or no, that works for me. You are in every right as a business owner to adopt policies that work for your business, that make your business work the way that you want it to. But you have to give the clients the opportunity to look at those policies in advance and be able to make other arrangements. Now, when you're in a particular situation like this where you are the supplier for the lawn, fertilizers and all that sort of stuff, you're one of these like main suppliers, and you just like on the fly change it in the middle of the spring after all the clients are quoted, and now you start changing policies, and now you're demanding people buy 3 bags of grass seed and stuff like that. Like, it's one of those things, like, to go forward to have to buy that much grass seed every time I put in an order, the only way that it would work is for me to have to, from now on, plan out, for one, all of the fertilizers I'm going to need for the year and put in one massive order so that I'm only having to buy those 3 bags of grass seed once. And on top of that, I will have to sell everybody on overseeding. Otherwise, I'm going to be, sitting on bags and bags of grass seed that I'm, very expensive bags of grass seed that I'm not doing anything with, right? So it's one of those things, right? I have to start adapting and changing it. And that's where, for me, thinking about them, it's completely unreasonable to pop this on people without them thinking about it. Because a lot of people, have talked to the regular clients. They've already done all that stuff. Now you're forcing somebody to buy 3 bags of grass seed that, now they have to go back to those clients and try to sell those as overseeding jobs or whatever the case may be for clients that may not want that or whatever the case may be. The person's going to be stuck with seed that they may not get, be able to get rid of. And the next time they need something, you're making them buy 3 bags of grass seed. Like, it's just crazy. So it may be time to look for a new supplier, unfortunately, for that sort of stuff. But it's just one of those things, right? It just seems absurd the way that they do. Especially like telling, my brother-in-law that, they don't have that other item in stock. It's coming next week, but they won't let him pre-buy it and pick it up next week. He'd have to put in a new order and rebuy 3 bags of grass seed. And he was like kind of trying to pick, like, what's the whole purpose of this? And they said to him, they're trying to lower their administration costs by 20%. And it's like, so you're doing that by losing 20% of your customers? like that doesn't make any sense. Like the way that you guys are going about it. Now, the crazy thing is, remember I told you that they didn't have something in stock, so he changed it because they said, you know, you have to wait till next week and reorder it, but he needed the stuff for that day to get started, the other types of fertilizer. So he decided to just buy all of that one style of fertilizer. And so he went to pick it up and starts loading and notices the other fertilizer that they said wouldn't be until next week. And he's like, what's this? You guys said you didn't have it in stock. And they said, oh, we found a pallet in the back corner or something. He's like, okay. And then he checked his bill and they charged them double, basically. So they charged them because originally he had changed his original order because they didn't have it in stock. So he said, okay, like whatever, the 20 bags of that one that he was going to take, just make that the same as the other things. So instead of changing it back, they sold him the 20 bags that he changed plus the extra 20 bags of the other fertilizer that they now had in stock. So he had to go back in and re-change, you'll get credited back and all that sort of stuff. It's like, you know, and they're talking about administrative costs and stuff. It's like they can't even run the office with what they're doing now. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. And then he gets home with this massive order, starts unloading it, and finds out they shorted him on bags of stuff. So it's like, it was just like this crazy craziness. I don't know what we're going to do in terms of that. It's unfortunate because that particular supplier, like I said, they're close by. I've been dealing with them for so many years. They are always so good until just the last 2-3 years where something has changed. Like I say, I think somebody's been hired, some bean counter that has some interesting ideas to maybe make them more profitable or something like that, but not very customer service wise, I think it's going to backfire on them. But anyways, that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes when you are a business owner, right? There's things that come up unexpectedly that you have to adapt to and work around and start to look for alternatives or change. So it could be a good opportunity to make a switch to something else, maybe find a supplier because those were like traditional fertilizers, you know, your synthetic chemical type fertilizers that I'm using, your standard run-of-the-mill fertilizers. So maybe something, a good opportunity to use something organic, something different. Going to start doing some research on some of these other popular fertilizers around that you see people using could be a healthier choice anyways, and see what I can come up with, that maybe kind of switching the program around and doing some different things. The only thing that that I would be concerned about is that moss control that I use, that I always call my secret weapon, because that stuff is fantastic, although it is available in other places. So I just got to figure out where I would source that from. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll get into it right after this. So stay tuned.
At Exmark, we've poured decades of leading-edge engineering and old-fashioned work ethic into our Laser Z, the pioneering commercial zero-turn rider more landscape pros trust. So now you can experience cut quality, performance, comfort, durability, and reliability beyond your wildest dreams. Stop by your local dealer or visit Exmark.com to experience an Exmark Laser Z and the attractive financing offers available now.
Cress is leading the transition from gas-powered lawn equipment for professional use with the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in battery-powered OPE. The Cress 8-Minute Cyber System allows Cress-made 60-volt batteries to fully charge in 8 minutes or less. Now, professional landscapers can replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. And with a full line of equipment benchmarked against gas-powered products, landscapers can finally take charge of their business and make the switch to battery. For more information or to find a dealer near you, visit Cress.com. Cress, we power the professionals.
All right, so you might be thinking about the title of this episode, What's on the Menu, and think that's kind of a strange episode, but we'll get into why the episode is called that. During my aerations that I was doing this week, actually the aerations I was doing today, going through it, I was listening to a fellow lawn care guy, his podcast, Tony Rudolph's Tony's Lawn Care Talk podcast. I was listening to that. Tony's a great guy from Tony's Lawn Care on YouTube. For those of you guys that haven't seen his channel, I, you know, be sure to go check that out, as well as to listen to Tony's Lawn Care Talk podcast as well. But Tony's just a very genuine guy, very straight up guy. I enjoy his content, especially he's doing a lot of Milwaukee stuff. One of the first ones that I saw using battery powered Milwaukee tools and experimenting with those. He's always experimenting with different mowers, seeing what's what works for him, in his business. Redefining sort of his equipment and all that sort of stuff to fit his root density and that, just always trying to up the game for himself of what works best in his particular business. And like I said, very genuine person to talk to. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Tony on my podcast a couple times. I've also had the pleasure of meeting him and his wife in person as well at the Equip Expo a couple years in a row, a couple years in a row that I've gone for me. I think Tony's been there like 8 years in a row, which is absolutely fantastic. I was listening to his episode, and he was talking to a guy that has started a lawn care business as a side hustle. I think the guy was like an insurance adjuster or something like that. And, he was, doing some lawns in his HOA, and kind of doing, some stuff on the side. And, their discussion was all about, it was about the guy's business and all that sort of stuff, but also, they were talking about the Hustler Surfer Pros, mowers, which are very, it's like a series of stand-on mowers. I don't know if you guys have seen them. They're very lightweight, sort of entry level, entry priced. Tony has one, and this other gentleman had purchased one based on Tony's YouTube channel, and so they were discussing that and sort of the commonalities of what they found that and kind of discussing. But the gentleman partway through talking about his particular business was saying the one thing, though, is that he always hears people talking about, there was a couple of takeaways. The one takeaway that he talked about was root density, that he always hears people talking about how important root density is. And for him, he was actually talking about how, you know, a lot of the lawns are actually in his own neighborhood as well, and that he got some racks and stuff to mount the string trimmer and the blower onto his Hustler Surfer Pro. And he can actually like ride around that through the his neighborhood and doesn't even take a truck and trailer and stuff and can knock out a bunch of lawns just like that. Going about it that way with, you know, that redensity because it's so tight being in the actual neighborhood. There's other ones that he has to do that are a little bit farther. So then he hooks up the trailer and we'll go and do those. But the second point that he brought up that he has learned from or has heard a lot of YouTubers talking about focusing on weekly lawn care clients. And he says that's the one thing he hasn't kind of figured out how to do because all of his clients are all bi-weekly cuts. He was talking about that, and Tony was talking about how bi-weekly cuts are, by far the easiest to get because, for obvious reasons, right? For a bi-weekly cut, I always say a bi-weekly cut, the only reason somebody wants a bi-weekly cut is because of cost. Because they'd rather pay you, they're looking to save money. In one capacity or another, right? So it's, they don't mind the lawn looking shaggy for within tolerance, right? These aren't clients that are, what would you call somebody that, doesn't like want to take care of their lawn at all, right? They're not that. They're not looking to have the lawn grow, 4 feet tall and stuff like that. They still want it maintained. They just want it maintained at a longer interval, not because they don't think it would look nicer if it was cut every week. It's all to do with cost savings. It's because, paying you to mow it every 2 weeks is cheaper than paying you to mow it every week. And that is their sole concern about that. That's the only reason that somebody wants a 2 week cut or a 10 day cut whatever the case may be. Anything less than a weekly cut is because of saving money. There's no other reason for that. So they're not concerned about having the nicest lawn. They're not concerned about, the 1/3 rule of mowing just, a third at a time, mowing more often, all that sort of stuff, right? Their sole motivation is to save money. So as, the gentleman was kind of asking that kind of question out loud. He wasn't asking it directly of Tony or anything. He was just saying, the one thing I haven't figured out is how to, get clients. And the first thing that popped in my head was, what's on your menu? That's where that kind of popped in. I said, how many Big Macs would McDonald's sell if Big Macs were no longer on the menu? And the answer is zero. They wouldn't sell any Big Macs because they don't offer Big Macs. How many Big Macs does, your steakhouse down the street sell? Again, the answer is zero because there's no Big Macs on the menu at the steakhouse. It's one of those things. If you don't offer biweekly cuts, you won't get biweekly customers. Is straight and simple to the point, and it's why I switched completely to only offering weekly lawn mowing service. That's the only service I offer. So when clients talk to me, you guys know that with me, I push everybody to the website, push everybody to get their information there to submit a free estimate. And I do that because, of course, I am a one-man operation, a solo operation, right? So if I were to, especially at this time of year in the spring, answer all of the phone calls, listen to all the voicemails, call everybody back, do all that sort of stuff that you know really should be doing, especially if you're starting out your lawn care business. But once you're established, you start to lack on that sort of stuff because you've got your set client list and all that sort of stuff. And you're just really picking and choosing now, filling in spots that you want, kind of picking, the top sort of clients that you want. Because I filter everybody in that sort of way where they have to go to the website, I think they read those policies, they read those terms and conditions that I talked about, that I have clearly displayed on the website when they go to the lawn mowing section, when they go to submit their estimate, it has some reminders saying, hey, only looking, we're only taking on weekly lawn mowing clients. The lawn mowing page talks about it, you know, the service being a weekly lawn service. When they go to the estimate and they check off what services they want an estimate for, weekly lawn service is the only service, only lawn service that they can check off. There's no bi-weekly, there's no 10-day, it's just weekly lawn mowing. So when they go through that, that's what's offered. It's already set up in their mind that that's what's offered. That's what they're going to get a quote on is weekly service. So if they get to the website and they look at that and they go, oh, I want like a 2-day or sorry, 2-week cut, two-day cut. That would be quite the thing. I've only had a few customers in my whole history who have ever asked me to come more than once a week, like twice a week cuts. Maybe about maybe 3 clients in my history have asked me to, at least during the spring, to come twice a week to mow because they were so wanting the lawn perfect. But on the opposite side, of course, if a customer is looking at going, we want a 2-week cut, clearly this business does not offer a 2-week cut, so I'm not going to request a quote. Why would I request an estimate for a weekly lawn service if it's a weekly lawn service is not what I want? I want it every 2-week cut, or I want a 10-day cut. And by doing that, guess how many customers I have that are bi-weekly cuts every 10 days or 2-week cuts? 0. All of the clients that I have are weekly cuts simply because I don't offer Big Macs on the menu. I only offer the steak on the menu, or whatever you want to call it, whatever the case may be. I've tailored the business. I've tailored those services to the policies and stuff. That's all I offer. So if you want a biweekly cut, then you're going to need to find somebody else to do the lawn mowing. So that is where that comes into play. So depending on how you want to run your business, you can either as a side hustle business, like that gentleman was, look at it 2 different ways. You can look at it as, this is just a side hustle for me, so I'm going to take, any job that I can. And, whatever jobs I'm doing, that's golden, right? Or you could look at it and say, I'm a side hustle business. I don't need to depend on this money for my living. It's just the extra income. So I can be really picky and just do weekly lawn mowing. Because why the heck not? It's a side hustle. You've got limited time to do it. It's not like a full service lawn care company who's doing it full time, maybe they could squeeze in biweekly cuts and things like that. Being a side hustle business, you've got limited time. You've already got a full-time job. You're doing, limited. So I would think you would want to be focusing in on doing just those, weekly properties so that you've got, you could fill up your client list really quick. You don't have to do a ton of administration in terms of billing and all that stuff. You know, a bunch of customers to do biweekly cuts and stuff like that and do your billing and all that sort of stuff when you can condense that to like half the clients doing them weekly. And then, you know, you're doing less of the paperwork and administration back end, all that sort of stuff, and have your allotted time for your side hustle, which is not going to be obviously a full-time job. You're going to have much less time to do it and focus in on those, right? But there's two sides to every coin. You can look at it two different ways. But that is essentially how you get weekly lawn mowing clients, is by pushing weekly lawn mowing service. Now, you can do it both ways. You know, when I first started, I transitioned. I was doing the bi-weekly cuts. I was doing the 10-day cuts. And I started to learn. The 10-day cuts were the first thing to go. That was, you know, the first thing that I started to realize, even, you know, 19 years ago doing this, that 10-day cuts do not work. If I'm driving to a neighborhood, you know, and I'm mowing, you know, Mrs. Jones on one side of the street and Mrs. Smith on the other side of the street, but Mrs. Smith only wants a 10-day cut and Mrs. Jones is every 2 weeks or weekly, you know, then those schedules are not going to line up. I might start, you know, week one and I'm mowing them both at the same time. But week two, you know, if it's a weekly cut on one side of the street, the other side is not getting cut for 10 days. Or if it's a bi-weekly cut on this side of the street, then I'm going to have to come back to mow Mrs. Jones on day 10 and then come back, you know, 4 days later to mow Mrs. Smith again for her two-week cut. And you're going back to that neighbor. So I learned right away, 10-day cuts, no, that doesn't work. At bare minimum, the two-week cuts, right? Because then you can work them with the weekly cuts. But even then, I was like going to neighborhoods and it was like, okay, well, I'm mowing this one this week because it's every week. And now that one, I'm not mowing. But I'm looking at it across the street while I'm mowing this one and going, that one sure really does need a cut. Why am I not cutting it again? Because they don't want it cut? Because they only want a two-week cut? But it really needs a cut. So next week, it's going to be even worse to have to cut that. And, you know, I'm charging them a little bit more for it to be a, you know, a bi-weekly cut. But I'm not charging them double what, it, you know, basically the price of a weekly cut. But every 2 weeks, which is, you know, essentially what you should be doing if you want to discourage bi-weekly cuts is not give any discount at all to bi-weekly cuts. If people are insisting on bi-weekly cuts and you're going to do them, then just quote them as a weekly cut times two. And, you know, that's what I would do to discourage them is do it like that. But ultimately, for me, I just made the decision to say, no, that's not going to work. Weekly cuts is how it's going to work. I want those types of clients because those types of clients are the ones that want their lawns cut weekly are more likely to also want fertilizer, to also want aeration, to also want moss control, you know, to also want dethatching, to also want some tree trimming, some hedge trimming, you know, and all those other things as well. Not all the time, but a weekly cut is a pretty strong indicator that you're going to be able to do other jobs as well, because a weekly cut is an indicator that the client wants that lawn to look nice. A bi-weekly cut is an indicator that looks don't matter and that saving money does. That they just want to save money. And if they want to save money, then they probably are not going to want fertilizer because then that would require you having to cut it more often. They're not going to want aerations. They're not going to want, you know, any of those extras that can be very profitable. So you really want to focus your efforts on the weekly clients. And basically, it comes down to just when it comes to, you know, for biweekly cuts, you just take it off the menu. You take it off the list of services that you offer. You don't offer biweekly cuts. You have to be willing to walk away from them. And that can be easier said than done, depending on the stage of your business. If you're just starting out and you're, you know, trying to get your foot in the door, then you're happy to do biweekly cuts and all that sort of stuff at first. But you're quickly going to learn, everything that I just talked about, how it's not profitable, how those are usually the lawns that aren't very good. So why not save yourself the trouble and start building a profitable client list right from day one and just don't even offer biweekly cuts? Go right into only offering weekly cuts. Go into right away doing credit card on file. Going into root density right away. Start thinking and building that right from day one. It's the same common themes you're going to hear from other people, whether it's YouTube or podcasts or whatever the case may be. You're going to hear those same lessons that people have learned over and over again on their own and have all come to the same conclusion. Root density is profitable. Weekly cuts are more profitable. You know, all those same types of lessons. Credit card on file saves a bunch of headaches. So why not take all those lessons that other people have learned and save yourself the headache of having to go through that yourself and just start, you know, 5 steps ahead and start from there. Just take it off the menu. So that's essentially what I would say in terms of, how to gain weekly clients for your lawn care business is you have to basically focus on them and only offer that as the particular service. And those are the customers that you are naturally going to attract. If, you know, somebody comes up to you and is only looking for a biweekly cut and you say you only do weekly clients, then they're going to find somebody else. And that's okay, because that means then, you know, you've got space there for those weekly clients. And you're only going to get weekly clients because that's what you offer. And you'll be better for it in the long run. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.